With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
No one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So what is he telling us? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, when you were unconverted, the spirit of this age led you into idolatry. Now the Spirit of God has led you to Christ. And that's been our study for all year. Those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. If you're not led by the Spirit, then you don't belong to God. So you were led by the Spirit. How? From death to life.
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us part one of the message, The Gifts of the Spirit, as we continue our series, Led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in Biblical Perspective. The church in Corinth was seeking answers from the Apostle Paul about spiritual gifts, and he did not disappoint them. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, Paul gave a thorough explanation of this issue. The entire question of spiritual gifts is exceedingly important, because they have everything to do with the health and the effectiveness of the Church of Jesus Christ. Spiritual gifts are that ability that God provides to every believer through the agency of the Holy Spirit, whereby He empowers us to work in partnership with God in the spread of the gospel and the nurturing of the saints for His glory. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, with part one of the message, The Gifts of the Spirit.
Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. I'm going to look at the entire chapter, but I'd like to just begin by asking you to look with me in the opening three verses. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. The grass withers and the flower fades. God's word abides forever. By His grace and mercy, may His word be preached for you. Last week, as I walked you through the stewardship card, and we looked at Spirit-led giving, particularly focused upon financial stewardship, I made a comment to you, maybe you remembered it, to hold on for this week, because there's an element of this card that says time. How do you marshal your time and redeem the time as a good steward? And another element, and that is your talents, specifically looking at spiritual gifts. And how can you be a good steward of spiritual gifts? That was on that card as well. Now, why do we also look at that issue? Well, all you have to do is look at the text that we just quoted together from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, where he tells us, as each one of us have received a spiritual gift, use it for the Lord as good stewards of God's varied graces. In other words, each one of us who have been saved by grace have been graced by God with a special gift that God has entrusted to us to steward. And it is required of stewards to be faithful. So what is a spiritual gift? And what does it mean to be a steward of a spiritual gift? Let me try to make it this way for you. Now, let's say I'm supposed to do it this way. No one looking around. This is my evangelistic moment. No one looking around. The buses will wait for you. No one looking around. Every one of you that have made a commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you put your hand up? Let me see it. I'm the only one looking around. Just put it up. Now, here's what I want you to know. If by God's grace you are a believer, then that same grace has entrusted to you by the same Spirit a spiritual gift. And it is absolutely designed by God and unique. And God has entrusted it to you to be used for Him and the common good. You have a spiritual gift. Now, what does the Bible tell us about spiritual gifts? Well, if we study spiritual gifts in greater detail than what we can this morning, just running through this chapter, there are four key texts in the Bible. They're not the only text, but there are four key texts to study spiritual gifts. I commend them to you for your study. We've already looked at one last week, and we just referenced it this week. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 refer to our spiritual gifts. As each one has received a spiritual gift from the Lord, use it in serving one another as good stewards of the grace of God. Let him who speaks the utterance of God. Let him who serve by the strength which the Lord supplies. So that in all things God is honored and his people are encouraged and the body of Christ moves forward as we're good stewards of those gifts. But there's another text. A wonderful text in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16 on spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. There's also a third text, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, a wonderful text on spiritual gifts. That is, spiritual gifts, those gifts that have been developed and designed by the Holy Spirit and entrusted to us by God's grace. But the one I'm looking at this morning, perhaps the longest and the most definitive, is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to teach us about spiritual gifts that we can be good stewards of it. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 obviously is found in the epistle called 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians is an epistle written, inspired by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. And this is a very interesting epistle because it is being written to people who were located in a place called Corinth that was noted for two things: arrogant pride and sexual immorality of unbelievable proportions. The Apostle Paul had ministered there. As far as we know, he ministered at the church at Corinth on a couple of occasions, and one of them was the longest time he was anywhere except for the church at Ephesus. At Ephesus, he ministered for 3 years. At Corinth, we do know, at least on one of his visits, he was there for 18 months to minister. He's gone away, and the arrogance in the culture has filtered into the church. The sexual immorality in the culture has filtered into the church. And the church, in deep concerns, has written to the Apostle Paul, and he has received 7 questions from them. And so when he writes to them, he first of all writes this glorious statement, foundational biblical gospel and encouragement in chapters 1 through 4. Then he begins to answer the questions that they have sent to him. And as he answers the questions, we find that there are 7 questions that he has sent. And we find those 7 questions because his answer to them all begin the same way. Now concerning the things you wrote. Now concerning. So you can spot all 7. May I ask you not to try to do that right now? Because we're going to look at just one of them. They had asked him a question about spiritual gifts. By the way, in the previous chapter, they had asked him a question about the Lord's Supper. Do you know why? Because they were abusing it in their arrogance on one another. Because they were not only abusing it, but they had allowed their ungodliness expressed in sexual immorality to invade even how they did the Lord's Supper, as well as their arrogance over one another and factions and divisiveness and self-exaltation and self-promotion that had happened. So the Apostle Paul rebukes them, and then he tells them how the Lord's Supper was meant to be something for the positive instead of the fact that now some of them were sick and another number dying. And then he says, now that we've talked about how the Lord's Supper is supposed to be used, let's talk about spiritual gifts. You've asked me some questions about spiritual gifts. Why? Because there were people arrogantly displaying their gifts and demeaning the gifts of others. And there were others withdrawing out of intimidation because they didn't have those greater gifts that were being exploited and exalted. And by the way, when he finishes this, guess what he's going to do? He's going to say, now let me show you a more excellent way. And he's going to give us that great chapter on love. This is the work of the Spirit. The same Spirit who gave you the spiritual gifts, you want to know when he's working, you will love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's right in this flow that he develops this whole teaching that he puts down for us concerning spiritual gifts. Again, I'm going to walk you through the text, and I just want to distill three things for you with a takeaway. And we're going to do it a lot faster than I want to. But I want you to go through it with me, because I think some things that you will find extremely helpful as we look at this particular issue that he's dealing with. Now, take your Bibles and look back with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as you look there, notice those opening verses. They are pretty foundational, but they're highly informative. Now, concerning spiritual gifts. You've asked me about spiritual gifts, brothers, and you've got people bragging on theirs and demeaning others and people withdrawing because they don't have the big ones that everybody's talking about. He says, first of all, I don't want you to be uninformed. That's an interesting word, uninformed. It's really the word we get the word agnostic from, agnostos. It means to be ignorant. You could translate, as the New American Standard does, I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers. I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to be equipped concerning spiritual gifts. So what does Paul want you and I to know? What does he want you and me to know about spiritual gifts? What does he want us to know? Well, here's the first thing he wants us to know, is that the spiritual gifts that come from the Spirit, you need to remember this. You know that when you were pagans, that is, you were unconverted, apart from God, you were pagans. Well, your paganism was manifested how? As you were being led, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. In other words, before you come to Christ, you're going to be a worshiper, but instead of true latria, God-centered worship, you're going to do idolatria. You're going to do idolatry, and whatever the spirit of the age that's moving you, whatever it is that's guiding you, it's going to show up in what you worship and what gets your adoration, your allegiance, and your affection in your life. But in contrast, now you're not a pagan. Now you've been converted by the grace of God. Now you're not being led by the spirit of the age to idolatry. Now you're being led by the Spirit. So what does he say to us? Therefore, I want you to understand, I want you to be informed that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So what is he telling us? Here's what he's saying. He's saying this. He's saying, listen, when you were unconverted, the spirit of this age led you into idolatry. Now the Spirit of God has led you to Christ. And that's been our study for all year, hasn't it? Those who were led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. If you're not led by the Spirit, then you don't belong to God. So you were led by the Spirit, how? From death to life. From sin to your Savior. And now, because you're led by the Spirit of God, you notice this word. You now can say. Before, you couldn't say. You had permission to say Jesus is Lord. You may say it, but you couldn't say it. Why? You're dead. You're dead. Spiritually, you're dead. You have no spiritual vocabulary of salvation. But now you've been led by the Spirit and you can say Jesus is Lord. But what you cannot say and what you will not say is Jesus is accursed. Oh, you may falter and deny Jesus like Peter, but you will not profane him by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God is in you, you can confess Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And you cannot, you will not profane him. Now, folks, you got to put this in context. This is Corinth. This is Corinth in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was, oh my, wonderfully, weren't they wonderfully gracious? They let everybody keep their religion that they conquered. As long as it was in your temple. And as long as in that service. But don't bring it out in the public square. You can have it there. You can believe what you want to there. But don't bring it into public. In public, there's only one religion, it's the state. And there's only one God, it's the emperor. So when you met, you were under requirement to confess the state as supreme and the emperor as divine. You were required to say, Caesar is Lord. And the first confession in the New Testament church was, Jesus is Lord. and it costs the lives of your brothers and sisters. It costs them their life. You cannot say it. You cannot say it without the Spirit of God savingly. And you cannot curse him if the same Spirit who brought you to him, that called you to confess him, you will not profane him. So that's what he says foundationally. So you want to talk about spiritual gifts? Let's start talking about what the Spirit of God has done to bring you from death into life, that gave you the ability to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior and put within you the ability to never curse him and profane him and to deny him. Even if the state says you must say Caesar is Lord, they would say, no, Jesus is Lord. Then he says this. He says to them, and you got to see this. Now the next thing I want you to know, he says, about the spiritual gifts. There are varieties of gifts, all kinds of varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, or put the word ministry there. There are varieties of service or varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, or you could put the word effects or consequences. There are varieties of effects, activities, consequences, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So let me try to do this. I'm going to try to illustrate it visually for you. So what has he said? He said, there's one God and there's one body of Christ. There are many members in the body of Christ. There are three persons in the Trinity. Every member of the body of Christ has a gift, and every member has a gift from the one God in the one body, with each member having a gift. And over here, the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. One Spirit gives all of the gifts to each member of the body of Christ. Those gifts were designed to be engaged in ministry. And there is one Lord, Jesus, who is over every ministry where those gifts are to be done in the body of Christ, his body. And for each one, there is an effect, that each one has an effect that is ordained by God the Father. So the Spirit, one God, three persons, God the Spirit's role is to give each member a gift in the one body, and those gifts are to be used under the lordship of Christ and for his glory. And the Father has ordained that as you take those gifts in ministry, has ordained certain effects that will be given in your life and through your life. For instance, there was a fellow named Dr. Freeman in the church I pastored in Charlotte. Every time I met him, he said, well, yeah, the guy was washing my car, prayed to receive Jesus. The guy that was cutting my grass prayed to receive Jesus. And the guy that was, and every time he talked to me about somebody that prayed to receive Jesus. And I had another guy in the church, and Spencer would tell me about all the people he had shared Jesus with, but he never could get anybody to pray with him. You know what? Both of those guys had evangelistic gifts, but one was fashioned as a reaper, the other was fashioned as a cultivator. And each one had received a gift from the Holy Spirit. And Jesus had said, okay, your ministry and the gift of evangelism that the Spirit's given to you is your Mr. Cultivator. And by the way, Jesus says, and by the way, as you do the ministry of evangelism with your gift, you're Mr. Reaper. You're Mr. Harvester. That's what you are. And then over here is the Father who has ordained every effect that is taking place. So one God in three persons who distributes these spiritual gifts for ministries under the lordship of Christ for the effects that the Father has sovereignly ordained, that those have been given to us. Unity of the Trinity with diversity of responsibility. Unity in the body of Christ with diversity of gifts and diversity of ministries, and then diversity of effects, all under the very design of our sovereign God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, having said that, now he gets down to business about the spiritual gifts directly. Look at the next phrase. To each one is given the manifestation. That would be another way to say the gift of the Spirit. To each one is given the gifts of the Spirit, or the gift of the Spirit, for the common good. Now we just found out something else. I didn't get my spiritual gift for self-gratification. I got it for the common good of the body, to stay on mission, on message, in ministry. I receive my gift for the commonwealth of the body of Christ, for the common good of the body of Christ in serving its Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. So then he says, for to the one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, to another according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions them to each one individually as he wills. So now, stop right here. Okay, Pastor, what about that ministry of healing? What about that ministry? What about the gift of healing, the gift of faith, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation? Are all of those present today, or have some ceased, or have they all continued? You know, that is a wonderful question. So I'm going to invite you back when I address that. Not today. I just don't have time. I'm sorry. Have any ceased? Or do they all continue? And if some have ceased, why and what would they be? And what would the Bible tell us about that? And how do we move forward? We're going to take a look at that. But I want you to seize that closing sentence. You have a gift. God gave it to you. The Father authored it. The Son oversees it in ministry. And the Holy Spirit gave that gift to you. And it's a sovereign gift. You don't pray it up. You don't work it up. You work it out. You don't work it up. You work on it and work it out. That's what you and I do. You have received the gift that God knows you need, that God wants you to have. You work on it and you work it out, but you don't work it up. He gives this to you. By grace, by design, by deployment, and he will enable you as you stir up the gift and develop it as it grows in developing and working in your life. And then to get this point across of this unity and diversity, he then goes back to his wonderful picture of the church, the body of Christ. Look at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. So here, remember, we've been saying this all year. The baptism with the Spirit who brings you to Christ and puts you into the body of Christ is not a second blessing for some. It is something given to all. We all. I wish he had just said you all, but he said we all. We all have received this. Every single one of us have received this. This is God's work by his Spirit in all of us, and we're all drinking of the same Spirit. But as you drink of that Spirit, as you're keeping step in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, repenting of grieving the Spirit, growing in the Spirit. As all of that is taking place in your life, being anointed by the Spirit, all of that unfolding in your life, he is doing a unique gifting for you in the body of Christ to use for Christ in ministry and an effect ordained by the Father. So he goes on to verse 14 to develop it even more. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. You can see what he's addressing. There are some people, because of the arrogance of others, that said, my gift doesn't count. I guess the only gifts that count is that one. And he's saying, wait. Stop. We're the body of Christ. What if we were just all an eye? Can you imagine a 10,000-pound eye going around as the church of Jesus? Where would the hearing be? Where would the smell be? Where would the walking be? Where would the touching be? Where would all of the speaking be? Where would all of that be? God has given all of these gifts. And you can't think that yours isn't important and necessary. There are no little people or little gifts in the body of Christ. None. Everyone's dependent upon the other. Every single part is important. One can't say in non-humble, arrogant self-deprecation. Did you hear what I said? Arrogant self-deprecation. Well, if I can't be that gift, I'm just not going to show up. I'm not important. I just won't show up. I won't be a good steward of my gift.
Spiritual gifts are the ability that God provides to every believer through the agency of the Holy Spirit, whereby He empowers us to work in partnership with God in the spread of the gospel and the nurturing of the saints for His glory. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's broadcast was taken, write and request The Gifts of the Spirit, or simply ask for message number 13618. Again, that's message number 13618. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD and shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." We live in an age where the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit is either distorted or neglected. Yet His power and presence has never been more needed. In Perspective is pleased to announce the offering of Harry Reader's newest CD series, The Holy Spirit in Biblical Perspective. Harry delves into the Scriptures in great detail in this two-volume set on the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the witness and work of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled and anointed in the Spirit? What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? These are just a few of the issues Harry raises in this detailed biblical study. The study comes in two volumes. Volume 1 contains 16 CDs and is available for $40. Volume 2 has 13 CDs and is available for $35. Order both for $75. Ask for the Holy Spirit in Biblical Perspective when you contact us, or order online by going to briarwood.org/Holy Spirit CD. That's briarwood.org/Holy Spirit CD. The goal of this sermon series is that we become more and more led by the Spirit each day. We do hope Harry's teaching on In Perspective is being used to strengthen your walk in Christ. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. This app is yours free of charge. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry Reader takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.